humans aware of their powers on Earth at any period?
Yes.
Why have we given it up, and to whom?
Okay, here's how it worked. You wanted a law. You wanted to, you couldn't be trusted with your own power, so you abdicated your power through the law. Okay? And that law, then, you chose to sell yourself into slavery. Then you came out of slavery, and the first thing you asked for was a king, because you didn't trust your own power. So much so that you decided to put all the magical artifacts in a box, the mercy seat, the Ark of the Covenant. And that Ark of the Covenant contained so much power that you had to have a veil to separate the human individual creator from the power that was imbued into the mercy seat. So much so that that veil caused a breach or separation between the power that is in you and the power that is in heaven. That's when God, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, they caught the last train for the coast. And that was the three men that you admired the most. And you separated yourself from your power. And now you spend all of eternity trying to get your power back. And that veil now is thinning, just as you chunked it in the bucket, in the box. Now all of a sudden you start scraping the gold off of the Ark of the Covenant to get your power back.
Are you saying that the Moses story is the beginning of law for human beings on the planet?
Yes. Yes.
There was no law before him.
Nope.
Is it humans that are insecure of their own power, and that's why they decided to create this this law?
It was too infinitive. Infinitive, infinity. It was infinite. They couldn't embrace it. They couldn't be trusted with their own power. So therefore, they had to imbue it in a box. I'm living in a box. In a cardboard box. Living in a box.
Can anybody comprehend coming into their own power instantly?
Ask Carolyn. She does it better than anybody. You wouldn't believe little old non-physical us, and we could even tell you how to do it, but you wouldn't have it from us because it might offend the rules and regulations with confounded in the confines of the labyrinth of your mind. But when you can hear another human creator absolutely give their stamp of wholehearted approval of how they are indeed within their own power, and that everything in their reality is their own creation, and that they pick and choose constantly all day, every day of what's the fastest path to their bliss of the moment, then all of a sudden it starts to become a ratifying, self-fulfilling prophetic prophecy. So the next thing you know, the next thing that you know, the next thing you know, the Victrola stuff again, the next thing you know is that everything works out for you, and that you have but to have a thought regarding something, and the next thing you know, somebody's ringing you on your little talkie phone, and they're saying, hey, I got an extra $100 million over here, I'm not using now, you got used of it, I was just going to throw it out, but if you can use it, here you go. And you go, well, I don't know. What's the origin of that money? Let's see. Is that good, clean U.S. funds? No. Well, okay. Did it come from China? You know, they're having Google trouble, so I don't know if I want to do that or not. Well, let me think. Well, I guess it'll probably be all right. Go ahead and ship it, and if I can't figure something to do with it, I'll make sure I put it in the incinerator, but I won't have a carbon footprint. I won't make the world colder. Oh, no. Hotter, oh no, colder. I'll try to get rid of it economically correct, so the ergonomics of the design won't offend the planet that I also created. So when you go from that whole play that we just kind of went through, absolutely, that's a great, great, great question. Very good.
Ion picks up the Ark of the Covenant story with the creation of the golden calf.
Well, they didn't know how long Moses was going to be. And they saw the fire on the top of the mountain. They didn't know but what Moses was consumed himself. So they talked it up amongst themselves and took the spoils of Egypt, the gold, and they had made Aaron form a golden calf, Baal, and layered it with the gold. They smelted the gold and layered it over the golden calf. Moses comes down the hill. His hair's white. He's obviously changed because of this experience that he's had with the burning bush and then the law. Then you got to remember that the children of Israel said, "We want a king. We got rid of Pharaoh, and now we want a king." So he sent Moses up to the mountain to get Yahweh, basically. That was before they knew what to call it. And then they used that in the Torah, that that was the name you couldn't say or use. But Moses said, say, I am. So they said, okay, Moses, who's God? And he says, I am, the great I am. Now, he sees them in their idolatry and their worshiping in the calf, having a big hootenanny, a party. And Moses says, now, wait a second. It ain't been 5 minutes to Moses' time that you sent me to get a god, to get a king, to get the law, to tell y'all what's right from wrong. And I ain't been gone 5 minutes, and here you have done made a golden calf, which goes against everything that, for many, 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 many years they'd quote-unquote lived by. And they threw that out the window immediately. Now he's come back down, having an experience with the supernatural, and said, you're not worthy of these, of God's law, the Ten Commandments. But before it, then he's mad. Moses is furious. He said, choose you this day whom you will serve. And then the scripture reference that's made from that is, who's on the Lord's side? If you're with God, Yahweh, come stand over here. If you want to stay with Baal, stay right where you are. Well, they chose. A lot of folks chose. More than a third stayed with the golden calf. Then Moses broke the tablets. When he broke the tablets, fire rained down from the top of Mount Sinai, lightning, whatever you want to call it, and melted Baal, the god that more than a third of them were worshiping. And when it was devoured, the god, Baal, the gold, it was melted. When it was melted, the ones that chose to stay with Baal had no choice but then to drink Baal that had been melted. The end of the day, everyone that chose Baal was either burned up by the gold, burned up by the fire from Mount Sinai in proximity of this flying gold, because it was an explosion, of course. Short version, they were consumed. Now this, it's an ash wood box, steel, right now. Now, all this gold has been melted, okay, because they drank it and there's gold all over the place. Well, it's melted. They take that gold, the Levites, only the true part sons of Jesse, in the tribe of Jesse, the true part sons of God, from the root and the branch of David, they came, the Levites. The Levites were the ones who went first. They were in charge of the Ark of the Covenant. Well, they didn't call it, they just called it the Ark. But that covenant that was made from that choice at Mount Sinai, they took that very gold that was Baal, because there was a lot of it, and they took and they overlaid the ashwood box with that very gold. And there wasn't no inside lining and outside lining and all that kind of stuff. All they did was they gold-plated the ashwood box that was the Ark. Before they had a temple, they had to house the Holy of Holies, that was the Ark. They had to house it in something. So they would take a cloth and boughs of trees, and they would build like a little tent thing when they were moving, because see, they were on a journey. Well, the brush arbor is what they used to house the Holy of Holies. Now, they took the box, the Ark, and they layered it with that gold, and that's the Ark of the Covenant that you know now. What they noticed, here's what started happening. When those tablets went into the Ark of the Covenant with the bones of Joseph and with other significant, very significant things that are contained within the Ark of the Covenant, some of that is the blood of the Passover lamb is also inside. The very religious significant things that the Hebrews believed as super special, the symbols, because everything in that Jewish world was symbolic, you see, with this covenant between God in their power, in their place of power. Those were the articles that were contained in the ashwood box. Then the gold is overlaid, and it becomes a golden box. Now, if you start really looking at it, you're kind of going, now, wait a second. You mean that God destroyed Baal, this gold idol, and destroyed it because you can't have any images of God that you worship. And they took that very same gold and overlaid a box, the mercy seat, the Ark of the Covenant, that housed all their significant, important things, and took and made that box a god. Here's the thing. Now, here's what's significant about that whole little rampant that we just did. The point is that was the separation from man, human being, flesh, meat sack bodies and their individual power, and that power was imbued, some say magically, but it was imbued into that box. That was the fall of man. The Levites were the only ones that were in charge of handling of the ark. They were the only ones that could touch it. They were the only ones that could handle it. They are the only ones that could move it. They were the only ones who could, anybody else that lay hands on the ark, they were consumed. They always paved the way. When the ark was moving, they did pave the way, and that was done with music and dance, and there was a very liturgical order set up with handling of when the ark was moving. Kind of like the parade. You know, if you got the parade, the minstrels would go first, and they'd bring the carriage holding the queen. Well, then they'd bring the Ark of the Covenant, you see. And then at night, when they got to where they were going to be, they had to build a brush arbor to protect it. It couldn't be open in the elements. That's why they had to build the temples to house the Holy of Holies, the Ark of the Covenant. Okay. Now, they've magically imbued this box with power, the ashen wood box, with these elements that were significant to the symbology of Hebrew. Okay, with the tribes, because the tribes were busted up, 13 tribes, not 12, 13 tribes. The Levites, and those born of Levi, were the ones that were in charge of the Ark of the Covenant, turning in, it would then be called the mercy seat, because there's an element that's coming that you haven't got to yet. First it was the Ark, then after they got through the desert and got across the River Jordan to Canaan, then it became the Ark of the Covenant. Then once it became the Ark of the Covenant, then once the original temple was built, then it was called the mercy seat. And that's when they had to establish a veil. That was when a veil that separated the Holy of Holies from the people. Because the outside of the body was not controllable. Now you've got an ashen wood box that's covered with gold, as sacred artifacts or special significant symbols inside the box. And that's all. But when they overlaid it with the gold from Egypt, from Baal, that's when it started to be magically imbued with the power of the human creators. And that's the first time that box took on what you call a magical or having this supercharged conductivity business. Now, this power was so significant that the cloud of glory was moving, that they followed the cloud by day. Now, they leave Mount Sinai and they go into the desert. 3-day journey, took them 40 years. Everybody that was a naysayer, that didn't believe, died in that desert. Okay? But they followed a cloud of glory by day and a pillar of fire by night. And that cloud followed the ark, or the ark followed the cloud, or pick it up. You see, you can go with it either way you want to go. But anyway, they followed the cloud of glory by day and a pillar of fire by night. Now, the blessings that came out of this flow of power was every morning with the dew. It hadn't rained, you see. There wasn't rain much in the desert, but the dew, they had a heavy dew in the mornings, and this manna from heaven would fall. That's the orme that you were trying to make reference to earlier, that would come from the pillar of fire by night. N-A-A-U-O-3. It would be like be almost in the form of a mossy pita bread, you know, like flatbreads. It would be like that. It would be on the ground. When they'd wake up, the ground would just be full of it, and everybody could eat all they wanted. Fill your belly up. But they couldn't store it. You couldn't take extra. You could all have all you could eat right then, but you couldn't take any with you or have it for later. It would wither away. It would just go to nothing. Okay. So now, was that because of the ark, or was that because of their relationship with the power, or was that because of Yahweh or 126? That's all relative, you see. That there was power is what's significant about the story. Okay, everybody that bitched and grumbled and complained and did not have gratitude and appreciation for their journey, for their deliverance from their out of bondage, out of Egypt, every one of those that bitched and grumbled, they died, and they roamed around that desert for 40 years until everybody that had one nasty thing to say stayed in that desert. They rambled through that desert until everybody that grumbled died because they didn't understand gratitude and appreciation. It is significant. And then the final throes, when they was just about done with their journey, they was all thirsty. I'm tired of this manna. God sends us manna. Bitch. Till finally they says, we want some water. We're tired of this manna. This is just manna. Morning, noon, and night. Manna. I'm just sick of it. I'm tired. Moses, you drug us off here in this desert and got us all tangled up. At least we was making bricks out of straw in Pharaoh's Egypt, but we had the Nile River. We couldn't get a drink. Then all you got us is special manna from God. Yeah. Well, so finally Moses got crossways and he took his staff and he smote the rock. And when he smote the rock, water came from it. Well, God said, because of this separation deal, see, because now you got it in the ark, when he smote the rock, God says, uh-oh, you're accelerating. You've said you wanted this power separate from you, and here you are exercising your power. So now, Moses, you've been disobedient. And when he smote the rock, because he exerted his power, that rock became a river in the desert. And that's one of the four rivers that flows into the land of Eden, where Eden is, all the way over to Iraq. And that river is still flowing to this day. So now he's in, now he's crossways. Now that gets you the Ark of the Covenant. That gets you up to this part. There wasn't no layers. Now, there was a thick plating of gold. We're not saying that. But they just hammered it, and it was not fancy and ornate. That comes at the second temple. But it was that gold, but it was, they gave it more detailing as it went along. There was many more layerings of gold and decorations. Because, see, this was just taking gold, making it in sheets, hammering it onto the wood. Because the hot gold would have burned the wood. So it was basically like a gold plating kind of thing, or really, really thick gold leaf, like about a quarter of an inch thick. And see, they would burnish it then, the sheets that they would smelt the gold, lay it in sheets, attach it to it, and then burnish it to get it to stick and nail it to the wood. So it was just a protection. And what they'd use it for, they realized, because they had separated their power from themselves, they realized that in battle, if they were to open the box or crack the box, they could never gaze on the glory of God. If you cracked the Ark of the Covenant and you looked at the box, then you'd be consumed because they'd made a deal. just like those Baal, the folk that chose Baal were consumed by fire. If you looked at the Holy of Holies, when it's been breached, the power that you gave it yourself, if you look into that, then you would be consumed as well. See, this didn't come from God somewhere way off up yonder. This came from the individual human creators. That's where the power came from. So if you give your power to something, then it has your power. Then you've got to do what it says you can do. Well, that's all right because you're still human. You get to create. But guess what? If you make all these rules and regulations regarding it, then you, remember, not usurping of the labyrinth of your mind, your rules and regulations. You will not allow yourself to usurp your rules. It won't allow you. So therefore, you fall dead just like everybody else. Well, they learned. They was tricky with this business. If some big army was coming, them giants and all these problems that they were having once they got across the River Jordan, they knew that if they got crossed up, all they had to do was crack the box, crack the magic box, and look away, and whoever was coming after them would be consumed. Actually, the way it actually took place, and even the scriptures, the text, they've translated it so many ways you can't tell which end is up, of course. But in the original translations, it said that the people who gazed on the power of God, okay, they evaporated, basically went into molecular dust. So the army. All that'd be left would be their armor and their swords and their helmets and their shoes, their flip-flops and their tube tops and whatever they had on. It would just be as far as you could see. It'd just be their clothes. Well, then the Hebrews that had been de-Egyptianized, because see, they were in the Egyptian reign. They'd spend all day every day gathering up the stuff from this army after army after army that was just, now it was just stuff. So they was having to gather up all their accoutrements to haul around with them. So they became a great moving storage facility from army after army that they'd get crossed up with. All right. Now, that's a whole lot of tic-tacs just to get you up to this place of what the Ark was and how the Ark got its power. There was tons of power. That was the big battle. That was the battle between Pharaoh and Moses. Because Pharaoh was sitting there. Moses would say, "Let my people go. My God is more powerful than your gods." And then Pharaoh's like, "I'm a god myself. We better watch out, Moses." Well, everything that Pharaoh would conjure, and he could, he had power. He didn't put his power in no box. He had his power. But everything he'd conjure up as power, Moses would come back against it. And then Moses would say, "Let my people go. I've done been here 9 times, and these plagues have come on Egypt because you've made it hard on us, these Hebrews. You've made it hard on us. So at every time, my God has come in here and tore you up with the plagues." And then the last one will be, finally, they knew Pharaoh had listened, and there was a prophecy that the deliverer was coming, that there was going to be a great exodus. So, and it would be the firstborn. So Pharaoh said, "Well, hell, I know how to take care of this. We'll just whoop and destroy every firstborn Hebrew." Okay? Well, if you go backwards, that's how Moses got to Egypt the first time. It's because he was a firstborn. The story goes on and on and on and on. So the last one was the Passover. And the Passover was that they had these certain rules and had to put the blood of the firstborn lamb, the sacrifice, the perfect lamb, and you smear the blood of the lamb over your doorpost. And if you did that, that's a rule, if you did that, then the Passover lamb would pass over you. But if not, then this angel, the death angel, would come and take only the firstborn. And that's when Pharaoh's son was taken. And that's what set off the Exodus. And he had a nagging wife saying, Moses' God is bigger than your God. And Pharaoh said, says, my God, Dagon, will save my son. It'll be more powerful than Moses. Well, the little child rotted, laying on this statue of this Dagon that was supposed to save him. And they even got Horus and Anubis and all of them stirred up pretty good in this God world, and none of them would bring Pharaoh's son back. So Pharaoh's wife turned around and says, boy, you sure are some big God, ain't you? Killed your son, showed you up. You know, I don't even believe your goober's big as you thought it was, Mr. God. So that's when they went tearing out after Egypt, when they left Egypt chasing all of the released exodees, went to chasing them, which is what had to get the Red Sea parted in the first place. But now that's what happened just before your gold story with your ark. That's when it was called the ark. But the only reason we went through all that was because before Mount Sinai, the individual human creators had their power. After that, that was the separation.